at the signals for the Baltimore Colts. Unitas gives to Amici. The Colts are the world champions. Amici scores.
Amazing. Sensational. Dramatic. Heart-rending. Exciting. Thrilling finish in the history of college football. California has won the big game.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
This is Phil Steele.
This is Mike Burnham.
This is Wes Durham.
This is Mike Ashley.
Hi, this is Chuck Foreman, number 44 of the Minnesota Vikings.
Woo, mercy, this is handsome Jimmy Vaint, the Boogie Woogie Man.
This is Coach Pride with Virginia Tech Football, and you are listening to Big Dog Sports Talk.
Are you ready to rock? Are you ready to roll? Okay, let's do
You're in the doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on 105.3 The Bear. Streaming worldwide at 105.3thebear.com and the TuneIn app for your phone. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog Rick Watson. Rick Watson.
The Best Buy 4th of July sale starts soon.
Well, hang on just a second here. Nothing like the intro song cutting into an ad. Hang on, we're going to start over again. Hang on. Oh, my gosh. Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday. Let's see now if it'll play. Here we go. Got a little devil woman might work. Here we go. Hey. There we go.
Since the day I saw the cat at my door, so I came into you, sweet lady, answering your mystical call. Crystal ball on the table, showing the future, the past. Same cat with them evil eyes, and I knew it was a spell she cast. She just
there you go. It's worth it just to see Cliff Richard wearing a sweater that has green sleeves with red and black base and then a red stripe down the middle wrapped around his waist. It is hump day. Hope everybody's doing okay. Don't forget the Baker Team Hotline is 731-1053. Text line 744-2990. Hit me up on Messenger. Many of you have been doing that. Keon Brown joins us coming up. 6:35, we got to talk about this J.J. Redick hire for the Lakers. Bill Roth, the Roth Report, David Teal, the Hall of Fame Power Hour. All right, so let me get into this because this is really bugging me, and I want to get your thoughts about, you know, we had the great question, Gary, yesterday. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. Gary put forth the question when he called us up and said, hey, if you had to wake up one morning and realize you were without sports or the music that you love, which would you choose going forward in your life? You know, I was very surprised. It was about 90% of you said, hey, sports is gone, keeping my music. I think I concur, by the way, Gary. But in any event, in a roundabout way, that connects to what can only be described as an absolute embarrassing opening press conference for J.J. Redick yesterday, introduced as the Lakers head coach. And only embarrassing because he's up there dropping F-bombs. That's right. At your introductory presser for one of the most storied franchises in this country, really in all professional sport, not just in basketball. I mean, the Lakers are up there in the top 10 franchises in this country's most respected, revered, successful programs, right? And he's up there dropping F-bombs and then laughing it off. And I'm thinking, where's the outrage? Has this just become norm? Is this just what it is now, that that's okay? that it's just common practice. Bill Polaschke, at least he wrote a nice article in the LA Times ripping the hire to begin with, and the fact that, is this just something now we're going to accept? So if the FCC has all these rules that I can't say that same word on the air, how is it okay if a guy who just got hired for millions of dollars to be the head coach of the Lakers, how is it okay that he can drop F-bombs and nobody is calling him out for it? Is this just where we are? Right? That this is now just acceptable? What a joke. I mean, it just, maybe I'm old man, get off of my lawn right now. But can you imagine Brent Pry when he was hired at Virginia Tech, getting up there and just dropping F-bombs and then just laughing it off? What kind of impression that would have given? He wouldn't have done that because he's a man of class. J.J. Redick, this is setting up to be just very comical what a disaster this is going to be for the Lakers. There's no way that guy is getting anybody's respect on that team. There's no way. No way. We'll talk to Keon about all this. I mean, this is an organization that went from thinking it was going to get Dan Hurley, which would have been a slam dunk, home run, you name it. Then they kind of lowballed the contract offer. He said no. And the only other person they talked to is J.J. Redick. And then he's up there dropping F-bombs. But hey, that's okay. Right? That's okay. It's not, but I'm just saying it's perceived as being okay. If that bothers you, let me know. It bothers me. 744-2999. He's a Christiansburg guy, somewhat local, went to Duke, and that's what he does at his presser. We're going to talk to David Teal about this whole J.J. Redick hire. All right, on a lighthearted, fun note, EA College Sports, it's coming out 2025. It's coming out in July. It's going to be the highest-selling sports game of all time. Just looking at the pre-orders alone. They have the toughest places to play in college football ranked in their gaming system. Kyle Field at Texas A&M is ranked number one. Bryant-Denny Stadium, Alabama. Tiger Stadium at LSU. Ohio Stadium, Ohio State. Sanford Stadium at Georgia, Between the Hedges. There's your top five. Penn State is six. Wisconsin, seven. Oklahoma, eight. Florida State, nine. Florida, down at their version of the swamp, is 10. Autzen Stadium in Oregon is 11. Clemson, Death Valley again, Memorial Stadium, that's 12. Neyland Stadium in Tennessee is 13. Auburn's 14. South Carolina, 15. The Big House, Michigan, is 16. And Virginia Tech, Lane Stadium, shows up at number 17. What do you think? Should it have been higher? Is that about right? I mean, tough place to play, but teams haven't had trouble winning there recently. Notre Dame checks in at 21. Texas is at 19. But the thing that I noticed looking at their top 10, 8 out of the top 10 are in the SEC or the Big Ten. 4 of the top 5 are in the SEC. So is that the stadium, or is that just the fact that it's the SEC? But anyway, that was a fun list. That thing got over 4,000 views, by the way, in a very short amount of time. I put that up on the BDST Facebook page yesterday evening as I was perusing
Facebook, yeah. The electric friendship generator.
But no real surprises. Folks are saying that Tech should be in the top 10. Neyland Stadium way too low. Probably right. Had a few people, even Jen the Gamecock girl, chime in on there and say that she thought that Neyland Stadium should be higher, right?
Nothing wrong with that, huh?
Well, but that's a fun thing. I'm telling you, man. I myself won't buy it. I know my son is going to buy it. And don't think I won't be up there playing it either when he's not home or, you know, while he's playing it with him. Not a massive video game guy anymore. Even during the heyday of video games, I was more into pinball. I love pinball. Now, there were certain machines that I loved. Galaga being one. The original Asteroids. Remember Missile Command? I used to love Missile Command. So I wasn't a massive video game guy. I do like the sports video games. I'm telling you right now, by the way, I'm going to make your lives better, sports fan. If you go to the app section on your phone, now I have an iPhone. I just don't like the Samsung phones. Samsung TVs, I'll never buy another TV other than Samsung. But I don't like their phones. Anyway, Retro Bowl and then Retro Bowl College. Trust me. Download it, save it, play it. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot like the old Tecmo Bowl. It's awesome. It is absolutely awesome. Just trust me on that. Retro Bowl College Football. You will have an absolute blast. You can adjust the uniforms, make them very personal. You'll download these, play them, and then you'll thank me. I want to know who the first peep is that does this. Retro Bowl College Football. Any event. I'm not a huge video game guy, you know, all the role-playing games, the way things are going. I believe that that has really, really contributed over the years to the downfall of the younger generations. But I got to be honest, man, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this college football game. We haven't had one since 2014. The licensing's all worked out. They've been working on it for about 3 years. I think it's going to be pretty cool. Have no problem admitting that as an adult. Looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. I think the graphics are going to be great. I think the details will be nice. And I've already seen that the pre-orders and the expectation is this thing is going to be the highest selling sports-related release ever. From EA Sports. Already a billion-dollar company. They're just going to add layers onto it and have more billions. But anyway, they have Tech at number 17, Lane Stadium at number 17, toughest places to play. And if you agree with that, that's awesome. If not, well, a lot of people didn't. They said Tech should be in the top 10. I think it used to be that way. They're probably also looking at recent success. Maybe. I don't know. But it's cool that they're still in there. It just shows you how, you know what it is? It's an attribute to you, Tech fan. Despite the lean years of the last, what, 5-6 years? At least they still show up in there. So this goes to show you that there is that legacy of Lane Stadium's lore that's showing up in a game that's coming out here this year, right? A text message, hopefully they don't put the black jersey of some team on the cover. Yeah, you're right. Agreed 100%. Brian chimes in. Yeah, I also saw J.J. Redick drop the F-bomb. It's a sign of immaturity, a guy who's clearly not ready for that stage. This is going to be an epic fail. Thanks, Brian. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm starting to get that impression. I'm really looking forward to talking to Keon Brown about all this. He's a, you know, right now Keon's a Laker guy because he follows LeBron around. Regardless of what you think about LeBron, Keon is a huge LeBron fan, so he's going to pull for whoever he plays for. Right now he's playing for the Lakers. Do we really think LeBron James is going to pay any attention to anything J.J. Redick has to say? I don't care if they did do a podcast together. Lane is top five. Never heard Lane any louder than last year. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Tech fan, take a bow. And this is why I always come back to the assertion, I can't believe that when we have this, what I will believe will be the final stage of expansion for a long, long time, when it happens, that's why I can't believe Tech's going to be left out of this thing. I just don't see it, man. That's why every cent that is available is being poured into the football program, and that's why 2024, there's a lot of pressure. Even though they won't talk about it, there is a lot of pressure on year three for Brent Pry. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Just getting started on a Wednesday. Stay with me.
The Big Dog on the Bear.
I mean, so many great Led Zeppelin songs, right? So many great albums. Now, they borrowed everything. They based it all in the blues. They all just massive American blues fans. Muddy Waters and the like. But is Whole Lotta Love the quintessential Zeppelin song? Like, is that the one that you hear and you're like, yeah, that's it? I mean, you like them all, or you should like them all. .744-2990. That's the text line. Baker Team Hotline, 731-1053. So we're supposed to hit 90 over the next three consecutive days. Right? That's what they just said. That's what they said. Or at least 90 today. And maybe over the weekend as well. So we'll see. See how that hits. We are in late June. Look, and it would be hypocritical of me to ever come on and complain about the heat, as much as you all know that it's well documented how much I despise winter and cold weather. Because there's very few things that I hate more than being cold. Don't like it. See, I feel like when you're hot, you can always cool off easier than if you're freezing and then trying to warm up. So I'm not going to be that guy. David Smith talked about it yesterday. He and I are the same in many ways, and we're not going to sit around. We're going to hear people talk about it. If you don't like the heat, just stay inside. That's fine. It's summertime. Summer's doing what it's doing. It's not the climate being weird. There's nobody doing it. It's just warm weather. Wow, it's about to hit 90 again. Oh, see, we told you about climate change. No, you mentioned that 10 years ago. Nothing's really changed. About 20 years ago. Wow, it's going to happen one day. Yeah, something. Everything's going to happen one day. Keon Brown joins us here in about 8 minutes. Never will fuss about the heat ever. Let's go to the Baker Team Hotline. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, this is Gary. How you doing?
Hey, Gary. What's up?
You were just playing Zeppelin. Back in 2016, Pat Benatar was at the Elmwood Amphitheater in Reno.
Mm-hmm.
And John Waite, formerly of the Babies, opened for.
Oh, wow.
And he did a great rendition of Whole Lotta Love. Pat Benatar's husband come out at the end of the John Waite set, and they did a Whole Lotta Love, and it was tremendous.
Oh, wow.
And then, have you seen the Bart rendition of Stairway to Heaven they did at the Kennedy Performance Center?
Yeah, I have, and you can see how emotional Robert Plant got. He and, matter of fact, everybody up there was just like, wow, they were just drawn in. They were terrific, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was probably the best, other than Zeppelin, I've ever heard of Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Yeah. They love Led Zeppelin. When I saw Heart with Joni Jett and Cheap Trick a few years ago down in Richmond, Charlottesville area, and at the amphitheater, and Heart, after the concert, didn't really announce it, and Ann and Nancy came out, and they sat on stools. And Nancy was just playing the acoustic, and they were just singing Zeppelin songs.
Uh-huh.
And everybody who was heading out quickly got back in. We were like, whoa, whoa, we're not done yet. You know, it was awesome. They played for about an hour, and they just sang. And one of them was Stairway to Heaven. It was great. It was great.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Gary. Well, that'd been cool right there now. John Waite, lead singer of the Babies. Great voice, by the way. Underrated. Underrated. The Babies had some pretty good songs. We've had many people request the Babies on our All Request Friday. But any event, I would have liked to have heard that. Awesome. Yeah, Bad English. That's right. He was with Bad English, too. Good stuff. John Waite, man, I'm telling you. Go look him up. I didn't really like a lot of his solo stuff, but when he was fronting the Babies and Bad English, now that's some pretty good stuff. I would have liked to have heard that. That's a great concert right there, Gary. Congratulations, man. You got to see. I mean, that's pretty good right there. Pat Benatar and John Waite? Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Keon Brown scheduled to join us next. What does he think about J.J. Redick and the Lakers? More coming up here on our Wednesday edition.
Watson.
When you wake up in the morning and the light has hurt your head, the first thing you do when you get up out of
it is 34 minutes past the hour here on this Wednesday. Everybody's doing well wherever you might be. Bill Roth, David Thiel in hour three. Joining us now on the program, he's our basketball correspondent, former Radford University Highlander, good player, also never shied away when he had to be the enforcer. His name is Keon Brown. KB, good morning, brother. How are you?
Rick Watson, what's going on, bro? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Hope you and the fam are. Did you enjoy when you had to bring and dispense justice? When you were a player?
I did. It was better when it was warranted. Sometimes I had to do it because I saw somebody do something slick. And then when that happened, you retaliate and everybody's confused as to why. And then you get yelled at by the coaches. But then when we go back and film, I say, slow it down right here and watch that. They're like, uh-oh, okay, we understand.
All right, well, listen, J.J. Redick with the Lakers. I thought yesterday was embarrassing. I think it says a lot about where we are as a culture today and what's acceptable and how the media just kind of let it go by for the most part. He's up there dropping F-bombs. The Lakers, one of the most storied franchises in all of American sport. What are your thoughts? Because your guy right now is with the Lakers. I mean, what do you think about all this? I mean, it just seems like, KB, on the surface, a huge downgrade from what they were shooting for with Dan Hurley, and then what they ended up with J.J. Redick.
It's the trend right now in the NBA when it comes to hiring coaches is to hire a former player. J.J. Redick's basketball IQ is as high as anyone's, but when you don't have experience, I think that's the problem that he's running into, and that's why he dropped the F-bomb, because he started the press conference by saying, I don't know if you heard or not, but I've never coached before, right? Trying to make a little soft joke
or
whatever.
Yeah, that was bad too, yeah.
Yeah, and then, but on the flip side, looking at it half full for Lakers fans, I'm going to say there have only been 5,000 players who have played in the NBA. If you are an NBA player and your heart desires to be a coach, I believe that you can do it, because they have not been a better player than those guys in the NBA, in my opinion. Some of these older names in the coaching game, those guys are starting to become dinosaurs because the game is changing so much. We talk about college basketball and the changes and the Coach K's and the Jay Wrights and the, you know, all of these other older coaches just up and leaving. But it's happening in the NBA as well, because the game is changing so much. And what are you seeing now? So many more analytical and data-based coaching, and that's what you're going to get with J.J. Redick. I think he's going to do a really good job. I really do. I am in the minority.
Wow.
And another reason why I think he's going to do – well, let me say this. A reason why I want him to do a good job is because so many people don't want him to do a good job. I don't know what it is about me, but when I see people get doubted so much, whether it's nationally on TV, whether it's just, you know, just fans of the game, when they doubt someone, it just makes me flip and say, I want this guy to be successful now, because you see the majority of people not wanting him to do, or not wanting him to be successful at this position. I hope he's successful. I really do. He's a Virginia guy, not too far from the New River Valley. He's a guy who I've met before and is just all around nice guy. But he's also a guy who's no nonsense, so I can't wait to see his coaching style. I think he has the tools to be a really good coach in the NBA, and I hope they surround him, and I hope he picks the right staff around him that is going to help him along the way. But I really do think that he'll be a good coach.
Wow. That's interesting, because I feel completely the opposite way. I'm not really I'm not actively rooting against him. I mean, I don't have I don't know him. I don't I know he loves him some him. I just thought that was a really bad look yesterday. I just thought that was something that you don't do. I mean, you got to show some reverence to the franchise that just hired you. Now, look, I know the Lakers under their current management, it's not necessarily on the most solid ground that they've been on. LeBron has to be having nightmares thinking about if that's who's going to end up with, you know, finish up his career, because the GM had no experience. He doesn't know what he's doing. And now you're bringing in a head coach who has never coached before. KB, can that locker room ever buy into anything that he says, or is LeBron going to be the de facto coach on this team?
Well, I think you're just going to have to pull LeBron to the side and say, dude, as long as you're all in, they'll be all in. As long as you don't show any respect, they won't. It's just that simple. You hear the story all the time of, you know, San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich pulling Tim Duncan to the side and said, dude, I got to get on you just as hard as I'll have to get on the last guy on the roster. And once the guys see you respond to that the correct way, they'll fall in line, because you being the best player probably right now in basketball, you know, at the time, they have no choice but to fall in line right behind you. So I think it should be one of those situations, and as long as LeBron comes in to the training camp and he comes in and, you know, is just right behind him and has his back, the other guys will as well. But now what we'll have to focus on, if you're the Lakers, is what your roster is going to look like. Because your roster, in my opinion, J.J. Redick said it himself in the press conference, isn't that far along, and I believe that as well. I just believe they got the worst draw in the first round. I believe that had they not played Denver, they could have beat anybody else in the Western Conference. The one team that they cannot beat is the Denver Nuggets. So I think they should make a few tweaks here and there, get more consistent shooting, get another solidified score, another third guy, and I think they'll be fine. You try and do what you can to get Donovan Mitchell out of Cleveland tonight in the draft, whether it's sending the 17th pick in next year's and a package of players, you do what you can to try to get Donovan Mitchell out of Cleveland. Will the Cleveland ownership and Dan Gilbert try to help the Lakers because LeBron's over there? I doubt it, but you try at least.
Keon Brown joining us on the program. He is our basketball correspondent, breaking down the Lakers. And, you know, if this report is true, and that usually is when you get Adrian Wojnarowski talking about it, but it looks like the Brooklyn Nets are going to send Mikal Bridges to the Knicks in the first of what could be a massive, massive deal for them. Your thoughts about if this is true, what this means for the Knicks, who showed that they were on the uptick last year?
It just means that, you know, the Villanova Wildcats are now the Villanova New York Knicks Wildcats. That's what it is. We got four guys. And I think that, you know, when we won the Big South back in 19, or, you know, the year they won the tournament, the Big South tournament, when they played Villanova in the first round, some of these guys was on that roster, if I'm not mistaken. You were there, so you would know Mikal Bridges is on that roster. Jalen Brunson was the point guard for that team. And I believe Josh Hart was there as well. So you got to see those guys up close and personal during college. But what I think about the move itself, I think it's good for New York. But I believe that Brooklyn got a lot in return for a guy who never has made an all-star team. I think he's got like four first-round picks or something like that. And to get that in exchange for a guy like Mikal Bridges, who has never even made an all-star, that's a lot. So I think at the end of the day, both teams won, because with the Brooklyn Nets, you get picks, and with the new CBA, that's really important right now. And then with the New York Knicks, those guys get a player who can put the ball in the basket and is a pretty good defender. And you put him with a bunch of his college teammates out of Villanova, and those four guys will be in the starting lineup. And you add those guys with a big man, and you probably look to move Julius Randle. And we'll see what the Knicks can do. I think they'll be in contention in the East again. You get a lot up for him, but Brooklyn gets a lot of picks in return, so I like it for them.
Who's in the best position that was, you know, in the playoffs last year? We'll won't count Boston, because I know they're just going to tweak some things. Why should they change much? Because they don't need to. But who do you think's in the best position, either in the East or the West, that looks like a team that if they do one or two things could all of a sudden be up there in the conversation?
Well, in my opinion, there's two teams in the West that I believe can compete for a championship next season, because they competed for a championship this year. The first team is the Denver Nuggets. I just need to see what they're going to do with KCP. He is a player that's going to demand $20 million per year, and I don't know if the Denver Nuggets have the space to re-sign him. I think re-signing him is going to be huge for what his role is on that team. Shooting those corner threes, guarding the other team's best player. He's probably the most consistent guy on the defensive end, along with Aaron Gordon. They have to find the way to keep him. I don't know if they'll have the money to. If they can keep him, they'll be right there again. They're a tough team to beat. You got the best player in the basketball right now, Nikola Jokic. And if he can return, they'll be just as good as they've been, because I have a feeling that they're going to work on their bench and they're going to get better on that end. The other team is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They got a year of experience under their belt. The next season, you usually see teams take that next step. I thought that the only two teams that could come out of the Western Conference were the Denver Nuggets or the Dallas Mavericks. I thought that Dallas was the only team that could beat Denver. Minnesota ended up beating Denver. Dallas ended up beating Minnesota. So I believe that if they can get a guy who can stretch the floor from the three consistently. Naz Reid was the guy who was a roller coaster. He was up and down here and there in the playoffs. I believe that if they can get a third guy that is a consistent scorer, Mike Conley is getting older and long in the tooth. He's getting a bit older. I think they'll be fine. Anthony Edwards is probably the next guy up. But he's been inconsistent in the playoffs as well. But I think the experience of being in the playoffs, as well as being on Team USA, he's going to take it next level as well. But as long as you have a third guy who can, you know, take advantage of scoring situations, you'll be fine. Carl Anthony Towns is a guy who no-showed for much of the Western Conference Finals, and he's the number one pick. I think it was 10 years ago now. If he can step up as well, they'll be fine. So to answer your question, the two teams, the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Have you moved off your top pick in the draft? I know ever since you mentioned who you liked, a lot of folks are also saying the same thing. You still sticking with that?
I am not sticking with it. I'm changing it.
Uh-oh.
And the reason that I'm changing it.
Yeah.
The number one pick in the 2024 NBA draft, Rick Watson.
Yeah.
Will be Bronny James, the number one.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just kidding. All right. The number one pick out of the 2024 NBA draft will be Zach Risacher out of France. And the reason that I'm switching, Zach Risacher.
Okay.
That's who I got because Alex Sarr turned down all of his draft workouts with the Atlanta Hawks.
No.
He turned down. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's not good business. So I think that Risacher will go one with the Atlanta Hawks. I think Alex Sarr will go two, and he'll end up in Washington. And number three for the Houston Rockets, your Houston Rockets, I think he'll get Stephon Castle. I think it'll get tricky after this, and I'm going to make a little shock, and you won't see this on many mock drafts at all. At number four with the San Antonio Spurs, I think that they're going to draft Donovan Clingan to go along with Wemby, so Wemby can roam around the perimeter while having that big guy still inside. And then at number five to the Detroit Pistons, I think they are going to select Reed Sheppard out of Kentucky. So I think that's how that top five is going to go.
You think the Rockets will trade out of three? I know they had this, people are speculating they might. I don't know what they think they would get, you know, down the road. I mean, I hope they don't. I hope they add one more piece to keep building because they were much better last year. You think they'll trade out of that or just hang on like and take the guy you mentioned?
Well, what you can do is trade back and possibly get a pick for next year. So if you can get that, that's what I do because this draft isn't the greatest at all. I think this is one of the worst drafts in NBA history. The last draft that I believe was as bad as this up top was 2021. I think that with the first two picks, Zach Risacher and Alex Sarr, if this was any other draft in recent memory, those guys would be somewhere between 7 and 12.
Wow.
That's how far down they would go, in my opinion. And so if I'm your Houston Rockets, I either move back and try to add a pick for next year, or I just stay there. Like I said, I draft Stephon Castle. I think he fits right in with what you guys are trying to do. Play defense. He's a bit raw on the offensive end, but you know he's going to give it your all. I love what he did for UConn a year ago. Had he not been at UConn, as a freshman, they would not have repeated as national champions. He was just as important as anybody on that roster last year for the Huskies.
Think my guys can make a jump? You know, they were right at 500 this year. What do you think? You think they can get back into the fray, at least make the playoffs next year?
Yeah, I think they have the roster to do it. I think the Thompson twin will continue to grow. I think that Fred VanVleet is a guy who is a fringe all-star, so he'll be right there. I think that Dylan Brooks, for what it's worth, had a pretty good, season with you all last year coming over from Memphis, and I think you have one of the best young bigs in the NBA in Alperen Sengun.
Yeah,
I think he is so good. He is like the Walmart version of Nikola Jokic. That's what I call him. I call him great value Nikola Jokic.
He's
really that good.
I like that.
And then Jalen Green is unbelievable as well. He's so marketable. I think that he's the guy that might need to get out of Houston and go to a bigger market like New York
to
see him explode. He's so good. The Rockets are doing him justice.
Well, think about it, too. People forget, he matured last year. Well, think about it. He was drafted. He was just turned 19, right? So
exactly. People
have to remember, he's going, what year? Is this year four? Three or four coming up? I mean,
now
he's going to be 22, 23 years old, so he's starting to figure it out a little bit. And I think you're right. I think his best basketball is way ahead of him. But I hope they don't dangle him out there. I think that would be a step back. I hope that doesn't happen. We'll see.
Yeah.
Then
you look at the development of Jabari Smith, and if he can come along.
I love Jabari.
You guys
Smith.
Got some talent on that roster for sure. I think you can make some noise.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. And I know I'm very happy with the coach. So, all right, man. Listen, great stuff. And I hope you have a great week. And I hope the fam is continuing along. How's the little girl, by the way?
She's upstairs screaming right now, I hear. when I get off the air with you, take her to daycare and let them deal with the screaming for a few hours. Right?
Well, be sure to tell her that her great uncle Rick said hello, and we'll talk to you next week. All right, brother, take care.
All right, bro.
There you go, Keon Brown with a nice breakdown. He's very optimistic about the J.J. Redick hire. Thinks it could work out. There's no doubt that he's a very smart basketball mind. Right, J.J. Redick. That's why he was an analyst. But can it transfer over? I don't think he's off to a very good start after the presser yesterday. We'll be back to wrap up hour one.
BDST in the NRV.
All right, we are finishing up hour number one here. Good conversation there with Keon Brown. Bill Roth, David Thiel in the third hour. It's the Roth Report. Hall of Famers all over the place in hour three. With the exception of yours truly. All right, we're going to lead off hour two. And if I told you the name Jim Schlossnagel, you would go, what? Who? You probably heard the name during the College World Series. He has given us yet another example of the massive hypocrisy that collegiate coaches, really in all sports, who come out and want to rail against what has developed with the NIL and the student athlete, now just the athlete, getting paid. Another lesson reminding us of how this has been going on and how completely one-sided it's been from the coaching perspective for decade after decade, which also kept building up decade after decade to where finally it added enough to it, not the main reason or the only reason, but one of the reasons why now we have revenue sharing and athletes getting money. This is how not to answer a question in a presser, and then the action the next day following this presser. It's kind of a cringe moment. We'll get into that. I'm going to play the audio, and then I'm going to tell you what's happened since then to lead off hour two. Text line's been blowing up since we let off with the announcement of EA Sports and where they rank the toughest places to play. Again, Tech was at 17. Most of the top five was littered with SEC schools. Many people think Tech's not getting enough respect. I look at it twofold. I look at it like this. Yes, traditionally, Lane Stadium is one of the toughest places to play. It has not been in recent years because the teams haven't been very good. Well, maybe it starts to reestablish itself going forward starting this year, right? But that's been interesting. And but besides that, I think I've had more people, I don't think you're necessarily Tennessee fans, telling me that Neyland Stadium should have been much higher than it was. Posted this yesterday on the BDST Facebook page where
Facebook,
in the span of like 40 minutes, it had over 4,500 views. Just crazy. Have Neyland Stadium at number 13. So there you go. There are some tough environments in which to play. SEC has four of the top five, by the way. Seven of the top 10 now with Oklahoma entering the SEC. So there you go. There you go. And we'll talk more about that if you want to chime in at 744-2990 or on the Baker Team hotline, 731-1053. All that is coming up in hour two. So we're looking forward to that as we motor along. And then we're going to get into this, and I want to get your take on Jim Schlossnagel, who just led Texas A&M to the College World Series. And, you know, this guy. And then what he did to follow up this audio that I'm going to play you to lead off hour number three, or hour number two. That's what you call the business, ladies and gentlemen, a tease. It's a radio tease to get you ready for the next segment. Hour two coming up here on this hump day. Come on back with us. Bill Roth, David Teal in hour three. On our new home for BDST on 105.3 The Bear, the Valley's Rock Station.